Good morning. We're getting a little feedback this morning. The house will come to order. Please stand if you're able. Our flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Bailey. You may be seated. Our opening ceremonies this morning, we're very privileged to have the concert choir from the Alder Creek Middle School in the North Clackamas School District. In my district, this is a tremendous choir. They've got a great music program at Alder Creek Middle School. Great example of music in our public schools in action. Their director is Sandy Baker. Welcome.
To listening, I'm not sure that you're any better, dear. My wisdom, if you only were proficient comprehending.
I only want to illustrate.
You mean reiterate,
communicate,
infuriate,
negotiate,
exasperate.
Oh, we can't agree. It's very plain to see that you and I together have the most opposing view.
Opposing view.
You're right.
I wish you'd see the light.
And arbitrated, validated, mediated, moderated, compromise, instead of
something we could use.
I thought we were compatible, but all we ever do is disagree.
It isn't possible to find a way to understand me.
We've got to be more sensible and
come up with some sort of compromise. Got to win this argument.
It's something that we both must realize. It wouldn't be so terrible,
awful and unbearable,
to call it good to
disappease and hold our lives together.
Incorrect.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Baker and Alder Creek Middle School Concert Choir. You may recall, colleagues, earlier in the session we had the Rex Putnam Choir that surrounded us on three sides, and this is a feeder school for the Rex Putnam High School, and so you can see the musical talent in those neighborhoods, and also the musical talent of the husband and wife directors of Sandy Baker and her husband at the high school, John Baker. So thank you all. Enjoy your day in the Capitol. Courtesies. Representative Barnhart, our Oregon sesquicentennial minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I discovered that the Oregon Encyclopedia is online, so I was able to make a correction in the material I have for today. Colleagues, today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia written by Carl Abbott, who is a professor of history at Portland State University. Senate Bill 100. Signed into law on May 29, 1973, Oregon Senate Bill 100 created an institutional structure for statewide planning. It required every Oregon city and county to prepare a comprehensive plan in accordance with a set of general state goals. As Oregon grew in the 60s, Willamette Valley residents began to view development as an environmental disaster that wasted irreplaceable scenery, farmland, timber, and energy. Metropolitan growth was explicitly associated with the painful example of Southern California. Governor Tom McCall summarized the fears of many of his constituents in January 1973 when he spoke to the Oregon legislature about the, quote, shameless threat to our environment and to the whole quality of life. The greatest credit for passage of Senate Bill 100 went to Senator Hector McPherson of Linn County dairy farmer, convinced of the need to fend off the suburbanization of the entire valley. Drawing on his experience on the Linn County Planning Commission, he articulated the importance of a statewide planning program to protect and enhance agricultural investment. Passage of Senate Bill 100 created the Land Conservation and Development Commission to oversee compliance of local planning with statewide goals. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further courtesies, Representative Stigler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And colleagues, I'd like to introduce over here in the gallery to my right two students from Marshall High School, which is an alternative high school in Bend, as well as their instructor, Tim Fasori, and the students are Ashley Dresser, you want to stand, and Marty Hazeltine, and Mr. Fasori and his wife, Chris Fasori, who accompanied them over here this morning to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Senator Riley's bill regarding smoking in cars. So welcome, and thank you for coming.
Welcome. Great to have you here. Further courtesies, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we have with us in the gallery today, stand up please, students from the Riddle Middle School. They have traveled a long way to be with us today. Colleagues, please welcome them to the House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome. Enjoy your day in the Capitol. Representative Brune.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce an honorary page today. Jasper, could you stand up? Colleagues, this is Jasper Perkins. Jasper is a seventh grader at Horizon Christian School. He's 12 years old, lives in Wilsonville, and his activities and interests include basketball, track, church, tennis, guitar, and piano. Welcome to your Capitol, Jasper, and thank you for serving today.
Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce another honorary page. Bybee, would you please stand up? Colleagues, this is Bybee Hollister. She's in the seventh grade at Gately Academy. She's 13 years old and a member of the Ambassador Student Council, and her career goal is to be a librarian. Thank you so much for coming.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. I have the privilege of introducing the rest of the pages from Gately today. Gately Academy has sent quite a contingent to help us with our business today, and I'd like to introduce Kelson Blakewood. Kelson is a seventh grader at Gately and hopes to pursue a career either as a roller coaster designer or an architect. Welcome to your capital, Kelson. I'd also like to introduce David Bodegeimer. David is in the eighth grade. He is a school ambassador for Gately Academy and wants to pursue a career as a computer animator. Welcome, David. Brian Boley. Brian Boley enjoys playing lacrosse and doing snowboarding and hopes to be an engineer when he grows up. Thank you for coming and helping us today. Jay Simeone. Jay is an eighth grader. In his spare time, he enjoys soccer, photography, skateboarding, and rock climbing. He hasn't quite figured out his career and is thinking of either being a scientist or a doctor. It's good to have you here today, Jay. Matt Williams is the student council president at Gately Academy, where he is a seventh grader. He also enjoys fencing and writing for the school newspaper. He thinks that when he grows up, he might be a historian, a college professor, or a comedian. Welcome, Matt. And colleagues, one of my very favorite constituents is also here today, Liz Gardner, an eighth grader at Gately Academy. During her spare time, she enjoys playing the piano, being a martial artist, doing animation, and talking about politics. When she grows up, she wants to be an artist. She lives in my house. She's my daughter.
And Representative Wingard.
Colleagues, have an honorary page myself today. James Walsh. James, will you stand up? James from Wilsonville. He attends Wood Middle School. He's 13 and in grade 7. His interests include jazz band, and he hopes to be an engineer. Welcome, James, to the Capitol.
We very much appreciate the work of all of our pages. Thanks for helping us do our jobs and serving your state today in the Capitol. Any further courtesies? The clerk will now open the voting system for purpose of verifying the presence of a quorum. Representative Buckley, excused business of the House. Excused today, Representative Garrett, Representative Kennemer, Representative Tomei. Excused business, Representative Buckley and Representative Gelser. All other members are present. Messages from the Governor, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 241, 603, 636, 649, 670, 696, 821, House Bills 2307, 2489, 2490, 2625, 2714, 2804, 2052, 2097, 2106, 2127, 2161, 2206, 2315, 2528, 2610, 2611, 2654, and 2658.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
H.R. 6, expressing gratitude to former speakers of Oregon House of Representatives.
Measure read for the first time has passed the speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3493 relating to hiring incentive tax credit and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3494 relating to alcoholic liquor and appropriating money.
Bills read for the first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 685 relating to extensions of credit prohibits creditor from denying application for credit solely because applicant used business address instead of residential address.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 685. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Senate Bill 685, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Surprisingly, nothing on the third reading of House bills calendar. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 241 relating to actions for possession of property and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 603 relating to farms. Senate Bill 636 relating to March use of commerce and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 649 relating to pharmaceutical sales. Senate Bill 670 relating to mandatory reporters of abuse. Senate Bill 796 relating to death care and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 821 relating to health care expense agreements and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time were passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 83 relating to devices for playing state lottery games. Senate Bill 108 relating to practice of veterinary medicine. Senate Bill 135 relating to alcoholic beverage. Senate Bill 140 relating to real estate licenses. Senate Bill 185 relating to State Department of Agriculture agreement. Senate Bill 186 relating to Agriculture Development Division. Senate Bill 330 relating to voters' pamphlets. Senate Bill 8571 relating to fish. Senate Bill 595 relating to veterans and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 639 relating to Oregon Wheat Commission. Senate Bill 775 relating to ballot titles. Senate Bill 802 relating to distilled liquor. Senate Bill 8937 relating to disabled person parking permits.
Bills read for the second time were passed the third reading calendar. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 114 relating to academic degrees and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 114A. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 114A is brought to you by your Education Committee with a unanimous due pass recommendation. This is a simple bill. It simply prevents someone from using a disclaimer when they have received their academic degree from a diploma mill. This does not affect career schools. Any school that is accredited is exempt under this law. This is about unscrupulous online for-profit businesses that make their living printing pieces of paper called diplomas. It should be noted that for an extra fee, you can even graduate with honors from some of these schools. This creates unfair competition for those who legitimately work and complete coursework for a degree. Again, this bill is a slight change in existing ORS. This bill prohibits a person from using a disclaimer when using a degree from a diploma mill, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Springer, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Olson votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 114A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 242, relating to previous convictions.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 242A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Senate Bill 242 comes to you from your House Committee on Judiciary. Over the past 6 years, the Oregon Appellate Courts has issued several opinions that address a variety of pleading and proof issues for such previous conviction offenses. This bill codifies these rulings and creates a specific procedure that governs the pleading and proof of all previous conviction offenses. But let me just go through them just quickly with you here. What it does is it codifies the State versus Reynolds, which allows a previous conviction to be alleged specifically in the accusatory instrument notwithstanding ORS 132-540. It codifies State versus Hess, which allows a defendant to stipulate to a previous conviction element. It codifies State versus Probst, which describes the shifting of burden of proof when a defendant asserts a challenge to a previous conviction. And it codifies State versus Jacob, which limits the permissible scope of a collateral challenge to a previous conviction. The goal is to enact provisions that are even-handed and merely codify those various holdings. Members of the criminal law section of the Oregon State Bar, which involves the Attorney General's Office, the DA's Association, and the Public Defender's Office, proposed this bill. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Call, how do you vote? Call votes aye. Representative, everyone else has voted. Senate Bill 242A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The motion I'm going to make, colleague, will carry over the next three bills. We've got carriers ill. So the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bills 464, 558, and 244 be carried from today's calendar and placed in their proper place on Thursday, May 14th, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 85, relating to government ethics, adjudication process, and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 85. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Senate Bill 85 comes to you from your House Committee on Rules, where it was passed unanimously. Senate Bill 85 was introduced at the request of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to deal with concerns about premature release of information concerning agency-initiated investigations of public officials. The Ethics Commission has two ways to initiate investigations of public officials: A, by a signed complaint, or B, on its own motion based upon information received other than through a signed complaint. During the preliminary review phase, all investigations are confidential. However, at the time at which the preliminary review phase begins, for investigations based on a signed complaint and those that are based on the Commission's own motion differ. The difference is significant. When an investigation begins with a signed complaint, the investigation is entitled to confidentiality from the point the complaint is filed, since the preliminary review phase begins at that time. For an investigation initiated by the Commission on its own motion, there is no confidentiality until the Commission votes to proceed with an investigation, because the preliminary review phase by statute commences when the Commission decides to proceed with its own motion. Senate Bill 85 seeks to give a public official, where the Commission may proceed on its own motion, substantially the same confidentiality as a public official being investigated pursuant to a written complaint. Senate Bill 85 passed the Senate with 29 ayes and one person excused. Your House Rules Committee voted unanimously. I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. Senate Bill 85, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5507, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5507A. Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5507A is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The board regulates doctors of chiropractic and certified chiropractic assistants through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The seven-member board is appointed by the governor and composed of five chiropractors and two public members. The committee approved an other funds budget of approximately $1.3 million and four FTE. The legislatively approved budget is a 15% increase from the 07-09 legislatively approved budget. The subcommittee denied policy option package 102 for an increase in per diem the board pays its board members, and the subcommittee also approved the deletion of two key performance measures and the addition of two key performance measures that are part of a pilot project for standardization of KPMs for boards and commissions. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5507A.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Galizio, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? He votes aye. That's it. Senate Bill 5507A, having met the constitutional requirement, is declared passed. Representative Wingert, for what purpose do you rise?
Permission to return to courtesies.
Representative Wingert requests unanimous consent that we return to the order of courtesies. Are there any objections? Hearing none, Representative Wingert.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'd like you to extend courtesies to a constituent of mine who's on the side aisle, Patrick Reed. Patrick came to Oregon 5 years ago with his wife, Elizabeth. He lives in Sherwood. He works as a grocery clerk at Albertsons and is the shop steward for local 555 United Food and Commercial Workers Union. He's also a small group leader for his local church, the Rolling Hills Community Church, and has been a youth minister for 30 years. He has two children, Tanya and Taryn, and he loves to raft the Clackamas River. Now, why the beard? Patrick is a part of Wilsonville's Beards and Bonnets contest, in which men are growing 150 days of beard growth starting on the 1st. So that ends on May 30th, and this is all part of the Wilsonville Festival of the Arts. Patrick, you're a real trooper. Please welcome him to the Capitol today. Thanks.
And welcome to your Capitol. Thanks. Under courtesies, further courtesies? Seeing none, we'll return to the order of business of third reading Senate bills. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5508, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Clinical Social Workers and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5508. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5508 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Clinical Social Workers. The board oversees a voluntary licensing program for individuals who want to use the title Licensed Clinical Social Worker. The board is responsible for developing and enforcing ethical standards for licensed individuals, investigating complaints, and disciplining licensed individuals who violate ethical standards, board rules, or state licensing laws. The seven-member board is appointed by the governor and composed of four licensed clinical social workers and three public members. The committee approved an other funds budget of $978,911 in five positions for a total of 4.5 FTE. The legislatively approved budget is a 12% increase from the 2007-2009 legislatively approved budget. This increase reflects the addition of a compliance specialist 2 position as a limited duration position. Limitation for this position and an associated fee increase was approved in the June meeting of the Emergency Board last year. The Board has a companion bill, Senate Bill 5509, which we'll hear shortly, that ratifies these fee increases. The committee also approved policy option packages associated with increased consumer protection, and the committee also approved the agency's performance measures. This bill passed the Joint Ways and Means Committee with only 1 no vote, and the committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5508.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Off the floor. Excused for business. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
No.
He votes no. Senate Bill 5508, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5509, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Clinical Social Workers and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5509A. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I mentioned earlier, Senate Bill 5509A is the fee ratification bill for the Oregon Board of Clinical Social Workers. The board oversees a voluntary licensing program for individuals, again, who want to use the title licensed clinical social worker. The committee approved the following fee increases: application for certificate or license from $100 to $150. Initial license fee from $66 to $130, licensure renewal from $90 to $130, and a criminal background check, which is new, of $50. The increased revenue will support a compliance specialist 2 position, as I mentioned earlier, and again, this bill passed the Joint Ways and Means Committee with only 1 no vote. The committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5509A.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
No.
Representative Gilliam votes no. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes no. Senate Bill 5509A, having reached the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5515, relating to financial administration of the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5515A. Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5515 comes to you from the Full Ways and Means Committee. This is a budget bill for the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. The Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists was established in 1990. And is responsible for the licensure and regulation of licensed professional counselors, licensed marriage and family therapists, and interns in Oregon. The board consists of 7 members appointed by the governor for 3-year terms. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved an other funds budget of $838,110 and 4 positions. The approved budget is a 25.5 increase from the 2007-09 legislative approved budget. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means denied a package for an increase of licensing fees and a package for the establishment of one new administrative assistant position. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a package for the establishment of a limited duration investigator. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means also approved the deletion of two key performance measures. The committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5515 as amended, and this did pass with full passage.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Compte, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Oh, wait. That's Representative Hanna. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. The ending fund balance, $280,000. Was there much discussion in committee about the use of that?
Just one moment. The good representative from Roseburg, could you restate your question, make sure I'm going to answer the right question?
Thank you. The information provided
further,
on...
Further question?
It's the same question.
Okay. Clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Clarification. The ending fund balance is listed at $280,000. What discussion did you have of a ending fund balance need in that amount? It is 8 months operating.
The discussion was that this would hold them over for a six-month operation.
Follow-up, please.
Further question of the carrier. Do carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. The summary lists it as an eight-month. Did the budget change from the summary?
Mr. Speaker, can I ask the questioner a clarification?
You need to respond to the question, and then if he does not feel you answered correctly, he'll ask for clarification. He can clarify. So you need to answer the question first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, we discussed the six-month possibilities. I do not recall a recollection about 8 months.
Thank you. Then follow-up question.
Further question, do you yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. Given that the committee only discussed a six-month carryover and the summary talks about an eight-month and lists a balance for 8 months, I guess my question would be, is it appropriate even to be presenting this bill on the floor today if there's discrepancy between what was discussed in committee and what's been reported?
Representative, I am very confident in the discussion that we had on the committee, in committee and in the supporting questions that we had in the sub and the supporting questions we had in the full Ways and Means, that this budget is intended to be there for 6 months, and I don't know why there is a discrepancy with the statement about 8 months, but we are confident that this is the budget that this organization needs at this time.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I have a great deal of concern over these ending fund balances. I have a great deal of concern about a budget coming across the floor wherein the committee discussion doesn't match up with literally the presentation made on that budget. And keep in mind, colleagues, this is a 25-plus percent increase, and yet little to no description for how that ending fund balance is to be used. I'll be a no vote on this budget today.
Further discussion. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I just would like to make the note, agencies this size, within reserves this size, a single investigation that an agency of this size would have to fund and defend possibly their actions on could eat up a budget this size very, very quickly. I'm very comfortable with the size of ending balance for this level of agency, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Comp, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, briefly. This is an agency, a licensing board, that has not had much oversight in looking at whether people have a license. There are people out there that just put an ad in the Yellow Pages saying they're a counselor, and there is an absolute urgency that this agency has the opportunity to go out and investigate people as complaints come in, and this is something that needs to happen to make sure that we have the best care services being provided, and I would encourage your aye vote.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5515A. Those of the opinion that it shall pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Representative Harker votes aye. Senate Bill 5515A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Speaker requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I would like to welcome the 45 students from Ackerman Middle School who are up in the back. They can stand up. They are accompanied by their teacher, Tony Crawford, who was a student at Marshfield High School when I was there, and Principal Joel Sebastian. Students are at the Capitol today to hand deliver letters to legislators regarding student interest in House Bill 2834. We truly appreciate the partnership that you have had with other schools and appreciate you coming and spending some time at your Capitol. So thank you very much for being here and have a great day. Further courtesies. We have returned to third reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5516, relating to Financial Administration of the Oregon Board of Dentistry and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5516. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. Senate Bill 5516 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The board regulates the practice of dentistry and dental hygiene through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The board also establishes standards for the administration of anesthesia in dental offices, determines dental procedures that may be delegated to dental assistants, and establishes standards for training and certification of dental assistants. The nine-member board is appointed by the governor and composed of six dentists, two dental hygienists, and one public member. The committee approved another funds budget of $2,264,000 and seven FTE. The approved budget is an increase from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget and includes two packages related to increasing public safety and one package for increased administrative cost. In addition, the board has a fee bill, Senate Bill 5517, which formalizes increased fees to fund the increases in expenditures related to the policy option packages. The committee approved the agency's performance measures. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5516.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Smith, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 5516, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5517, relating to financial administration of the Oregon Board of Dentistry and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5517. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5517 is the fee bill for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The board regulates the practice of dentistry and dental hygiene through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The additional revenue generated by these fee increases will pay for FBI criminal background checks and subscriptions to national health care practitioner databases that will automatically notify the board if one of its licensees is subject to official action in another state. Let me repeat that. The additional revenue generated by these fee increases will pay for FBI criminal background checks and subscriptions to a national health care practitioner's database that will automatically notify the board if one of its licensees is subject to official action in another state. The fee changes were approved by your Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and they recommend approval of Senate Bill 5517.
Further discussion? Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, just mentioned to you that if you look at what the fee increases are in this bill for initial dental hygiene application fees, the fee increase is by 22%. So here we're in a time of recession, and we're just going to be adding additional fee increases to the workers at a time when their businesses are laying off people, and we really ought to be living within our means even on these board levels, unless there's a real moving reason why it should be contrary. Therefore, I would recommend a no vote on this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, today we have $717,000 in an ending fund balance at the Board of Dentistry, which is 31% of their total budget. We have a 22% increase in fees. Why are we increasing fees on dentists? And we know who will pay that increase at a time when health care becomes more expensive and access is harder and harder to find. I urge your no vote on this budget or this fee.
Further discussion, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I think perhaps the Republican senator, who is also an orthodontist, who voted for this bill would agree that the public health, welfare, and safety of consumers of all of the services that these boards oversee is critical, as is the notion of professionalization. All of you who are professionals and have licenses know that if there are individuals in your field who are acting inappropriately, it reflects poorly on your field, and that is bad for business. It is our responsibility to oversee these boards, who then oversee the health, welfare, and safety of Oregonians. And the majority of these boards have not had fee increases in quite a long time, and they are hanging by a thread. It's our responsibility to protect people's public safety, and it's our responsibility to help the businesses and the licensed professionals who are critical to this economy to have the integrity in their business to the extent possible. So I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleague from Tigard has made excellent points. Continue that line of thought, just a gentle reminder that it really is, I believe, our responsibility. You get what you pay for in government. You get what you pay for in any area. And for a number of years, we have neglected to pay for the services that are required for the state to operate the way it needs to operate. And, these various bills we're hearing today with the various boards, et cetera, are a great example. For many, many bienniums, Mr. Speaker, we have tried to get through with not paying for services that are required by a state. And in my view, it's irresponsible to try to run the state in a way and not pay for what you need. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, with these fees, and I notice it's the hygienists that get hit the hardest, do you think these fees will be passed along to the consumer?
Thank you to the good representative for approaching me earlier with that question. I think that's a fair question, and I think the answer to that lies universally, and that is any amount of money that is transferred from one entity to another obviously will result in someone paying that fee. What I would share with you, though, is that there's a sense of security in knowing that your dentist or your dental hygienist has taken the necessary professional steps to clear themselves through the FBI and through a national database. It brings credibility to their profession. It brings comfort to me as a consumer of dental care to know that my dentist has met the highest level of standards.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, looking at the fees, everybody's getting hit with this. And knowing that there's a lot of money in the ending fund balance, this is something we need to look at closely. This is a job they could probably do already with the current funds that are available in their balance sheet. And for this reason alone, we're trying to, I will be voting no, but on top of that, the other reason I'm voting no is we're trying to reduce health care costs, and this does not reduce health care costs by adding additional fees and burdens on hygienists, dentists, we got 1, 2, 3, 22%, 12%, 5%, 5%, 13.7% of additional fees that are going to be hitting the dentist and hygienist across the board. And this is something that's not going to help us reduce health care costs. So I urge everybody to vote no.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill and then a declaration of conflict. To the bill?
Again, to the bill?
Yes. I'm married to the best dentist in the Pacific Northwest. She has not lobbied me against this bill. I urge her I vote. It is very important that these folks that do this work be screened and careful. Be quite frank with you, the dentist is there to relieve, if necessary, and hopefully prevent through good oral hygiene practices like brushing and flossing and regular checkups at your dentist, pain. They are there to relieve and prevent pain. And if you cannot trust your dentist, then you really have an issue, and that's unfortunate. And I think we need to establish trust, and I think these fees, these reasonable fees, are what that is all about. I've been listening to the comments in the discussion about budgets. I've balanced my share of government budgets, but any responsible budgeter, whether it be a household, a business, or government, who you never balance your budget to zero in whatever the period of time you're budgeting. You always withhold a contingency fee in case the roof leaks or the boiler breaks down or whatever arises. We can have an argument and a debate, and I think it's a valid one to discuss just exactly how much that balance should be. I think that's a valid question. But the idea that having an ending balance that carries over, that is a responsible budgetary process, which I agree with. And then, Mr. Speaker,
yes.
Good bill should pass or adjourn. I vote, and I need to declare.
And state the nature of your conflict.
As I've just said, I'm married to the best and the most brilliant, wonderful, beautiful dentist in the Pacific North and person in the Pacific Northwest.
For the record, so noted.
And I hope she's watching.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Smith, do you wish to close?
Just very quickly, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, no one wants to pay additional fees. No one. No one in this building wants to. The public doesn't want to. But there is a fiduciary obligation that goes with serving in the legislature, and that includes making sure that the safety of those who are receiving health care is tended to. What Senate Bill 5517 does is it passes a fee increase to help pay for FBI criminal background checks and to apply to a subscription to a national health care practitioner database. Both of these are measures to enhance the industry, to enhance public safety, and to make sure that when you go to the dentist, you're getting what you're paying for. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5517 is a good budget bill, and I'd encourage you to vote aye.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Barton votes aye. Oh, Representative Barton. Okay, we got it. Representative Greg Smith votes aye. Senate Bill 5517, having met the constitutional requirement, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that Senate Bill 5528 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Thursday, May 14th, 2009 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5538 relating to financial administration of the State Board of Psychologist Examiners and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5538A, Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Some of you may wonder what we do down in Ways and Means. Well, we have been working. This is another bill that we heard in the subcommittee for education. And Senate Bill 5538 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners. The Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners is responsible for the licensure and regulation of the practice of psychology in Oregon. The board consists of 7 members appointed by the governor for 3-year terms. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the other funds budget of $1,086,386 and 4 positions. The approved budget is a 15% increase from the 2007-09 legislative approved budget. The Joint Committee approved the following packages: a package for the development of the jurisprudence exam, that is a one-time amount of $10,000, a package for the establishment of a limited duration specialist, a package for increasing licensing fees. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means denied the following packages: a package for reclassification of one investigator position, a package for the replacement of technology and development for business continuity, and a package for funding to increase the size of the board by 2 members. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means also approved the deletion of 2 key performance measures. Colleagues, we are working very hard to trim the fat and make sure that only certain things that are essential to people's continuing to support and protect our public is in place, and so the Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5538 as amended.
For discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
She does.
Thank you. Can you explain why there is a 47% increase in renewal fees from $510 to $750?
Thank you, Representative. There was actually a larger request by the board and the body of psychologist examiners to have an $850 fee into that amount, and we reduced it so that we would be within the limitation of the 3 to 6 months of cash available on hand.
Wow, thank you. Follow-up?
Follow-up question, Speaker, does the carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you. And in the budget explanation, under summary of revenue changes, it says the subcommittee ratified an increase to the licensure fee to fund continuing service levels and maintain a healthy ending balance. Can you please tell me what a healthy ending balance is and what the statutory definition is?
I will give it my best shot. A healthy ending balance is one that makes sure an agency is able to meet the needs of all their required salaries and operations for at least 3 months, and it has a window of up to 6 months. And this ending balance does come down to that they would have an ending balance of 4.5 months.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Further question? Does the speaker yield? Carrier,
yes.
Yield? She does.
Thank you. Is the healthy ending balance based on what the previous budget was or what the budget's going to be?
Representative, it is based on the projected need.
Follow-up?
Further question?
Yes,
do you yield?
Yes,
she
Mr.
does.
Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill. I apologize.
Thank you.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, in our previous discussion, and I don't know what the ending fund balance is for the LPCs. It isn't listed. I'm not on Ways and Means. Don't have that document in front of me. But in our previous conversation, we looked at an ending fund balance of $717,000, which is a nine-month ending fund balance, which I don't know if there's a definition for better than healthy. And that would, in my mind, question that this is somewhat arbitrary, and there probably needs to be a better vetting exactly what these ending balances are. Any business that runs today doesn't want an ending fund balance at the end of the year, so they end up having to borrow money to pay for the lights or pay for payroll. But the reality is we've got businesses that are closing their doors because they have no cash balance. And here we are raising fees with, in my view, exorbitant ending fund balances that aren't justified in these times. So I would urge a no vote on Senate Bill 5538.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I won't continue to stand up at each of these bills, but let me just mention that with each bill, there's always a justification, there's always a reason why we should raise this one 15%, why we should increase the fees on the active members 46%. But that's less than what it could have been. I mean, we're only raising it from 510 to 750, but they requested 850. So certainly we're not doing as much damage as we would have done, but still 46% increase is a huge increase. Has your income gone up 15%? Are you spending 15% more in your families? Why should we, merely because we have the power to approve increases of 46%, increases of spending of 15%, do it just because we can? This is not the time to be increasing the costs of doing business. It's a time to be maintaining costs or even lowering them. Let us do those things that will help those that elected us to be here, not the agencies, not the boards, not the associations that say that they represent them, but the people themselves that have to write the checks. We should vote no on this bill because 15% increase is unjustifiable in these economic times. And we should vote no on similar bills and force budgets to be maintained, spending to be retained and restricted so that we can all get through this together. Hope that you will start voting no on these bills. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
She does.
Would you tell us whether any psychologists or the Oregon Psychological Association objected to these fee increases?
Representative from Eugene, they absolutely did not object. Beyond that, they had spent a lot of time in the interim working on seeing what their needs analysis was, what their body of members, they sought out voices from, they went, reached out and talked to their membership to ensure that they were doing what their membership wished.
Thank you. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, this is one of the small licensing agencies. I happen to be a member of this board for a couple of years before my election to the legislature, and I had to leave it because of the separation of powers requirement when I became a member of the legislature. So this is one I'm very familiar with. This board regulates the practice of psychology. It has some complex issues that come before it. It requires the ability to manage licensure for new members. It requires the ability to conduct tests to make certain that people are qualified. It requires the ability to investigate and prosecute violations of the ethics rules and the laws of the state of Oregon to make certain that those who practice psychology do it ethically and competently. Colleagues, we've been hearing a lot of objections to the budgets of these boards and to fee increases. In my view, these fee increases are absolutely reasonable, they're absolutely essential, and they're designed to protect the public in the state of Oregon. These boards are self-funding in the sense that, this board too, in the sense that they receive funds from the licensing fees of those who they regulate. Colleagues, while I'm not an active member of I'm not an active psychologist licensed anymore, I will gladly pay the 100% increase in the inactive license renewal fee from $50 to $100 because I understand the importance of the work of this board. Finally, let me say that one of the things that happens to small boards like this and several of the other boards that we've been talking about today and that we'll be voting on it on other days is that when they get a big case, when they get a difficult case of an ethics violation that goes to a hearing that requires a substantial investment, those are budget-busting kinds of cases. Now, I'm not certain that that's what happened to this board this past year, but I believe that it may have. And the result of that is that they need to have reserves in their checking account, in their account with the state treasurer, so that they can actually cover the costs of these things when they come up. Because when they come up, they involve serious violations of ethics rules and serious violations of law which are being contested by the licensee. They cannot not prosecute these cases because the balance in the account is too low. They have to be ready when those cases come up, and no one can predict when that's going to happen. These ending fund balances are critical and essential for the operation of these boards. I urge an aye vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. And I tried to give you a brief idea here. We have heard, colleagues, that the people who charge this fee, we're okay with it. We've heard from a member of this body that 100% increase is okay and 47% increase is okay. My question to the carrier is, did any consumers of the health care provided by these professionals testify to agree to pay more for the service?
Good Representative, we did not have public testimony from consumers during our committee hearing.
Thank you. To the budget bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, we have heard continually that the people that charge the fee are okay with this. We've also heard from members of this body who are trying to look out for the actual people who are the consumer, the end payer, who ultimately, to receive health care, will pay ever more and more and more. Colleagues, in my mind, a 100% fee increase means the consumer hoping to get the service from these professionals will pay an additional amount. The 47% fee increase means the consumer, the one seeking that mental health service, will pay ever more. I don't know about you all, but I get very few contacts from constituents in the state of Oregon asking me to increase the cost of their health care. In fact, I'll tell you, I have none. If we want to do anything about watching out for Oregonians, let's be careful what we do to the cost of their health care. This simply makes it more expensive for them to access the care they so desperately need. I will be a no vote on this bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Comp, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, briefly. Although the good representative from Central Lane and Linn counties basically stole my closing speech, and the only points that I would make to reinforce, to state that the reason these costs are going up is because of investigation and legal court cases that go with those investigations. That is the key. And the only other comment that I would make is that the board did contact people in the field several times through this process to see what are the needs. It was reported out to us, even though it wasn't the people in the field directly, but how many times they were contacted and what the response was. The association who represents the providers, the counselors and the psychologists in the field were in support of this bill, not only just the board, but the association. Members, this is a bill that takes, again, and protects our citizens, our people that expect that they're going to be taken care of in good faith by all these licensed practitioners, and that I do think it's a very, very important bill for you to be able to support.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. They're all there. Senate Bill 5538A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5546, related to financial administration of the State Board of Tax Practitioners and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5546. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5546 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. The Board of Tax Practitioners is a consumer protection licensing board that oversees individuals and businesses who prepare personal income tax returns for others. Tax firms and their branch offices are also registered by the board. The committee approved an other funds budget of $1,060,466 and four positions. The legislatively approved budget is a 1% decrease from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget.
This reduction reflects the elimination of an Office Specialist 2 position and the addition of limited duration or temporary help during the busy license renewal periods. The subcommittee approves the agency's performance measures. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5546. There is no fee increase, there is a decrease in the budget, and there is a decrease in permanent full-time FTE, so I ask for your yes vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nathanson, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Stigler, how do you vote? Stigler votes aye. Representative Maurer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Maurer votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Barton votes aye. Senate Bill 5546, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 92, relating to research conducted by the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 92. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 92 would allow the Oregon Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to conduct research to improve public safety professions. The Department of Public Safety Standards and Training provides training to thousands of public safety professionals each year at the Oregon Public Safety Academy in Salem and at regional locations around the state. Current statutory language allows DPSST to stimulate research, but not directly conduct research. This bill would allow DPSST to conduct research both internally and with external partners. And when he was in the legislature, now Director John Minnis had been at the forefront of pushing the legislature to have its own research arm around crime and delinquency. And I would suggest, colleagues, that at this critical time in our state's history, it's more important than ever that we know what works well and what doesn't when it comes to law enforcement training. This bill would give the agency the statutory authority to engage in this kind of research and really improve upon its key performance measures. I urge you to improve public safety by voting yes on Senate Bill 92. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shields wishes to close. He does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith votes aye. Senate Bill 92, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 100, relating to the Department of Corrections.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 100. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 100 comes to you from your Judiciary Committee with a unanimous vote. Requires the Department of Corrections begin in 2012 and every 6 years thereafter to conduct a study to determine the actual costs incurred by each county in providing management, support services, supervision, and sanctioning of felons under the supervision of the county. The bill creates a proven accurate rate, transparent funding model that works for the state and works for the counties. These costs we have to know, understand in order to pay the counties the proper amount. It's a good bill. The study can be done with existing resources, and there's no physical impact. Ask for your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 100, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 197, related to student law clerks for the Public Utility Commission and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 197. Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 197 authorizes the Public Utility Commission to use temporary status appointment for student law clerks for periods not to exceed 24 months. It adds the PUC to the Department of Justice and to the Office of Administrative Hearings to the groups that can use law clerks for 24 months. As an attorney who's used law clerks, I can assure you having them available for 24 months rather than 6 months is an excellent idea. Thank you very much. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bentz, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 197, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 212, relating to administration of criminal fine and assessment account funding for victims assistance programs and declaring an emergency.
This will be the last bill. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 212. Representative Stiegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 212 comes to you today from your Judiciary Committee. It regards victims' services criteria, and what it essentially does is update, clarify, and conform the statutory criteria to existing practices and laws that have been passed through ballot measure or otherwise over the last few years. The only substantive change actually has to do with a requirement that notice be given to victims of their rights as soon as practicable. It declares an emergency and is effective upon passage, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Stiegler, do you wish to close? She does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Senate Bill 212, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hold it. Representative Jensen, for what purpose are you in the queue? He votes aye. Thank you. The chair would like to have unanimous consent to allow that to be recorded. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you. Jensen will be voting aye. Senate Bill 212, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills be carried over to their proper place on Thursday, May 14, 2009, third reading calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the Committee on Rules be allowed to hold an emergency meeting today, immediately following the floor session, for the sole purpose of holding a work session on H.R. 6. H.R. 6 expresses a resolution expressing gratitude for former speakers of the Oregon House of Representatives. We anticipate they will be here tomorrow. So, is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of H.R. 6 be made a special order of business immediate following the order of business of special committee reports on Thursday, May 14, 2009 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. As rules chair, we will be having an emergency meeting on the side aisle immediately following today's session. Everyone is welcome to attend. So we'll be in the side aisle, whichever one we decide to be in. So thank you very much for that. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules in order to allow Representative Olson to change his vote on Senate Bill 5507. It will not impact the outcome of the vote.
Representative Nolan requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow Representative Olson to vote on Senate Bill 5507. It will not change the outcome of the vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Change, I'm sorry. Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Olson, how do you vote?
No.
He votes no. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have another member who apparently missed the right button. I would ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules in order to allow Representative Huffman to change his vote on House Bill 5507. I believe it will also not change the outcome. But having just seen that one, are we good?
We're okay. And it is Senate Bill?
Senate Bill 5507.
Okay. Representative Nolan requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended so that Representative Huffman may change his vote on Senate Bill 5507. It will not change the outcome of the vote. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Huffman, how do you wish your vote to be recorded?
This time, Mr. Speaker, I would be a no.
He will be a no. Thank you very much. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats, please grab your lunches. We will caucus at noon. Democrats will caucus at noon.
Further announcements. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is Safety Break for Oregon Day around our state. Oregon OSHA coordinates this one-day event designed to raise awareness and promote the value of workplace safety and health in preventing injuries and illnesses. You're invited to stop by the Galleria today to see demonstrations on a wide range of health care equipment for safely lifting and moving patients, put on by the Oregon Nurses Association and the Oregon Coalition for Healthcare Ergonomics. Additionally, Oregon OSHA administrators and others will kick off the event today at noon on the Capitol steps. Please join them if you can. Thank you.
Further announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Republicans, please enjoy your lunch hour. We will not have caucus during the noon hour. Thank you.
Further announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, another email from my constituency out there to understand what is going on in the community, in the economy. It starts out, our plumbing company has been here since 1995. We bought it in 2006. At that time, we had 4 full-time employees and plumbers. We had 2 on service and 2 on remodels. We were booked for days in advance on service and months in advance on remodels. We grossed approximately $900,000 at that time. About June of last year, we started feeling the decline of business. We now just have 2 plumbers. It gradually got slower. Remodels are fewer and farther in between. The service work is half of what it was. One of our challenges now is to competing with plumbers who used to focus on new constructions. Since there is very little of that, they are now creeping into our service work. Because we are known in the community, we have not been hit as bad as some. We know of a shop who is down from 17 plumbers to just 2. And many have gone out of business altogether. Hopefully, we can get some relief and help from our government.
Further remonstrances, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this won't surprise members from the party opposite, but I wanted to correct. I made 2 factual errors. I know this is not a shock to some of you. I referred to the senator from Senate District 19 as an orthodontist. He's actually simply a dentist. So I apologize to whoever needs to be apologizing. And secondly, I claimed that he voted in committee in favor of Senate Bill 5517. He did not. He was excused. So my apologies to the body.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Thursday, May 14, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Thursday, May 14, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned. Rules will be meeting over on the your right side, over on the north side of the building. North side, that's where our stuff is set up. Thank you. So, Arnie,